Good evening. I'm so happy to see you tonight. Thank you for being here for our evening assembly. We have to kind of get back in the groove of things, meeting up here on Sunday nights after a great summer nights program together. I hope that you enjoyed that as much as I did, those discussions that we had. But we're going to be moving into a little bit of a different format on Sunday nights starting tonight. So I guess I want to start just saying this. I know that some of you think that preaching has to be like the easiest job on the planet because, you know, you just get up there and make a speech. You know, that's all you do all week, you know, and you get paid for that. But I just assure you it is really, really, if you've never done it, you probably have no idea just how challenging that it is in so many ways. Ministry is really taxing, and one of the ways that it's taxing is I'm a very introspective and self-critical kind of person. So Sunday nights are hard for me to preach because I've spent all day beating myself up about the Sunday morning sermon, and so I come to you on Sunday night pretty bruised and beaten, not because of anything anybody else has said, but because of the voices in my own head. And I just want you to know that I'm very thankful for the grace and the encouragement that you give me in this ministry, because it's easy for anybody to be a critic whenever all eyes are on you, you know, during a sermon, because, you know, everybody's got their opinion. It was too deep. It was not deep enough. It was too long. It was too short. And everybody's got some perspective. But I assure you that it's just so hard. And I thank you for being patient with me this morning, because I got some real great affirmation and encouragement about the sermon this morning, and I'm very thankful for that. But I must say, reflecting back on it this afternoon, it was just not really what I wanted it to be. So I hope that it was a blessing to you. I hope that God was able to use it in some way to bless you. But, you know, some Sundays it just seems to work better for you, at least from your own perspective, than it does others. And so I hope that tonight I can provide something for you that maybe if it was lacking for you this morning, then maybe tonight it will pick up the slack. Maybe. I'm not even sure about that. Because what I want to share with you tonight, I got a page of notes here, but I don't know how much of them that I want to go by, because I really just want to talk with you about a lot of kind of thoughts that I've been having recently in regard to what it means to be citizens of God's kingdom. And I've got some preliminary thoughts I want to share with you tonight, and as we move forward on Sunday nights, I don't really want to call this a sermon series because I don't know really how it's going to pan out, but it's probably going to be a recurring train of thought that may last till next week or 10 weeks from now. I'm not sure. So we'll just kind of see how God uses it and how that the Holy Spirit chooses to work through this message. But I want to talk to you about God's kingdom. And I think I want to start this way. Here's Jesus. When you pray, say, "Our Father who is in heaven, your name is holy. Let your name be holy in all the earth. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth like your will is done in heaven." Now, it's that part of his prayer that I want us to begin thinking about and meditating on tonight. Jesus modeling for us, praying for the advancement of the kingdom, that his kingdom would come. What does he mean by that? I mean, after all, God is already King of Kings, Lord of Lords. There's no question as to his kingship. He's already king over all things. His rule has already been established in all the earth. Many passages affirm that. One of the ones that just comes flooding to my mind is in Psalm 103 in verse 19, where it basically just comes right out and says that. God's rule is already established in all of the earth. And yet, even though he's already ruling, and his kingship and his kingdom is assured, Jesus says, pray that his kingdom would come. So, there's a sense in which the kingdom of God has already come, and at the same time, it has yet to come simultaneously. I know in some preaching that I have heard in my youth, preachers would often try to equate God's kingdom with the church. And while I think there is some validity to that, I think that is too narrow of a view. Because if you equate the kingdom with the church, then the explanation to Jesus' prayer is that Jesus is praying in light of the coming of the church in Acts 2, and once the church came, then we can't pray that part of the prayer anymore, because his kingdom already came. The church is here. And I think that misses the point. The idea of kingdom is regularly used throughout the Bible to describe God's rule and his reign, the reign of God. And so we know that God ultimately is reigning, and yet there are portions of his creation within his kingdom that do not recognize his rule. Human hearts that resist the kingship of God. And so we pray, God, may your kingdom come in the areas where your reign has not been recognized. And he says we should pray for this. Prayer is such a powerful mechanism that we've been given to call upon God to act in the world today. I must say that I'm a bit uncomfortable with the hyper defense that sometimes we have had in the church against modern day miracles. We have seen those that have been the charlatans that on television that claim to have healing power and miraculous gifting. And we've seen the abuses of that, and so we have recoiled against it and sometimes positioned ourselves to say, well, no miracles happen today. And my purpose is not to open that discussion. I just simply want to say that if we deny the activity of God in the world, we have essentially depowered prayer. I believe that through prayer, we can call upon God to do things that defy the imagination. Paul says as much in Ephesians 3, that we should pray and pray in such a way that God would do things beyond anything we could ask or imagine. That's Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20. So I'm convinced that God will still move in and do things that I don't have to understand or explain. I don't have to theologically diagram what God does and does not do in the world today. I choose to believe that God can do anything He wants to do, and I pray toward it. And if God chooses to do something that blows my mind, I praise Him for it. And if He chooses to do something, to not do something that I ask for, He is still Lord, and I praise Him for that wisdom. But how can we, through our praying, actually usher in more of God's rule in the world? Thy kingdom come. Bring your kingdom here. Kyle asked me that. He told me this morning, you told me you were going to lead singing tonight. And like any good song leader, and all the song leaders do this regularly, they'll say to me, you know, you have any specific songs in mind that will go along with the sermon? And I'm terrible at that. I can never, in the moment, think of a song. And so I just say, well, here's what I'm preaching on. You could not have picked a better song than the one we sang before this sermon tonight. Bring your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. May your mighty hand. You see, we're asking God to come in and to change things. We're asking the Holy Spirit to move and do something powerful beyond anything we could manipulate or program or try to do by our own effort. I must confess to you that I think for too long, the way I have tried to operate in the kingdom is by my own power. God has been wonderful to me through my study of His Word, and He has revealed to me and really changed my perspective of the understanding of my youth. That the way that I'm saved is not by what I do, not by works, but I'm saved by putting my faith in God's grace. And finally, I've come to embrace that and understand that and celebrate that. And yet, even though I accept that in regard to my salvation, when it comes to God's kingdom being worked out in the world, sometimes I just feel the conviction of God as if He's looking me in the spirit and looking me in the face and saying, when are you going to really believe that? When are you going to really believe that the way my kingdom works is not by some business model that, or some church growth tactic or program that somehow by your own ingenuity or by your own, you know, smooth talk, that you can somehow bring about the kingdom? When are you going to really believe that the way my kingdom comes is not by you working hard at it, but by you surrendering to me and calling upon me to bring it in? When are you going to start depending on me in prayer to say, Father, bring your kingdom here? And He's just starting to open my eyes. I'm still at a squint, but He's starting to open my eyes to the power of that. We all operate, I think, on two different levels. I might call this, as another writer in another context has used this language, a lower level and an upper level. The lower level of life has to do with all the things that we can see and experience through the five senses. And so all the urgent things of life, like, you know, my job or my family or the things I got to get done during the week, mow the grass and take out the trash, and all that stuff is stuff that I am responsible for and I have some level of, I think, control over. And so the way that we operate is, I think, well, I want to pursue a degree, so I work hard to get a degree so I can have a good job, and then I try to get a good job, and then I work hard at the job to try to advance in my career, and all of that, and then I save for the future, and I invest my money, and I try to help people, and I'm still operating all on this lower level. And meanwhile, there is a whole upper level of existence that just absolutely is continually intersecting with and permeating all of life. While I'm operating on the visible level, there is an invisible world that is all around me that I'm walking right through and oftentimes not tapping into. And yet it is right here at my disposal. As Paul would say in Acts 17, the unknown God, the God that you don't know, I want to reveal Him to you. He is the God who made the heavens and the earth, and it is in Him we live and move and have our very being. And we have a mechanism to tap into it through communion with God, with abiding with Jesus, with praying openly to Him. I love that passage in the Old Testament that reveals this in such a vivid way in 2 Kings 6, where you've got the prophet on the run against this army that has come to pursue him in Dothan. And his servant comes out early in the morning from the tent and looks and says, man, we're surrounded. This army has come to get us. He's looking on the visible plane, the lower level. And there's no hope, seemingly, because it's an army against two. Master, they've come to get us. And the prophet says, Lord, open the eyes of my servant that he can see. And the servant's eyes were open. The scales fell off. And what he saw when he walked outside the tent was a whole heavenly army of chariots and horses of fire. The invisible upper level was there the whole time. He just needed to open his eyes to see it. And so we've got to tap into this upper level. I know I need to be more focused on tapping into that. This plane of existence of the spiritual all around me is tapped into for you and me through spiritual means, through prayer and through worship and through fasting and through communion with God. You see, God's kingdom does not come. Okay. Church organizations grow and come through marketing ploys, through good staffing, through church growth strategies and tactics, but that's all lower level. God's kingdom comes when we enter the upper level. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth like it's done in heaven. Throughout the Bible, God's people have experienced seasons of spiritual stagnation and periods of cultural accommodation. Probably the one that kind of sticks out is the period of the judges. You know, during the time of the judges, the people went through this vicious cycle of returning to their old ways and returning to sin, and God would send some kind of punitive retribution upon them through an outside occupying force or through the raiders that would come and invade their land. And they would cry out to God. You see, they had no hope of deliverance on the lower level. So they get to a point of desperation and realize we need to tap into the upper level, the spiritual, and they cry out to God. And God sends a deliverer in the form of a judge. And this judge, this spiritual leader, has the foresight and the vision and the spiritual vitality to restore an upper level kingdom vision among the people. And spiritual renewal and revival happens when that occurs. Spiritual renewal or revival happens whenever, to put it in our context, when sleepy Christians suddenly wake up to a kingdom reality. You see, we can't cause or manipulate or work at God's kingdom renewal in ourselves. You cannot do that. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. You can't force it. You can't somehow programatize it. All we can do, to use imagery from 1 Kings chapter 18, all we can do is work hard to build the altar. But only God brings the fire. But it's our job to build the altar, to build environments and settings and a spirit among us that is going to welcome the movement of God and the revival of God among us. And we cry out for Him to bring the fire. Your kingdom come. So, how do we prepare the altar? How do we pray toward it? See, this is what Jesus is telling us. He's saying, pray your kingdom come. How can we pray that prayer? I want to give you some thoughts that I'm having about that. I think, first of all, and I've said something toward this end in a sermon back a year or so ago, but I want to revisit it now and remind you of it. I think what we've got to do, all of us, is we've got to focus on God's presence and His kingdom more so in the way we pray. And I mean individually and I mean corporately, together as a body. Focus more on God's presence and His kingdom and pray kingdom level type of prayers. Now here's what I mean. I think our tendency when it comes to prayer is really to be pretty selfish, to focus on things that we want God to do for us. We pray what some would call maintenance prayers. You know, this is the kind of prayer that is primarily focused on physical needs or personal needs or physical healing or concerns that are limited inside of the church. And we've got to begin to move and migrate away from the primary focus of our praying being not that, but being on the very front line of kingdom level praying. And that's the kind of prayer that is much more focused on your kingdom come, your reign come in my life and in the life of other people. This week I read on Facebook, David Foster, he's not going by David anymore. What's he going by? Stan. All right. Most of you know. You remember the tall guy with a real deep bass voice used to be with us? All right. He's a youth minister in Portland. Yeah, Portland, Tennessee now. He posted on Facebook this past week a really great quote I want to share. Some of you read it. Because I saw that you liked it. I liked it too. He said, somebody has noted, if your prayers were all answered with a yes, would it change the world or just change your world? Now that's revealing about the kind of prayers that I'm praying. If God said yes to everything I ask Him for, would it make a difference in the kingdom? Would it make a difference in the world, or would it just somehow pretty up my life? You see, this is what I'm talking about, this kingdom kind of praying. It's the kind of prayer where you ask God, God, give me the grace to get to a place where I move beyond my arrogance and the facade that I try to put on for others and really humble myself, where I openly confess everything to You. That's a kingdom prayer. You're asking for His reign in every dark corner of your life. Or praying to God, God, give me something that I lack. Maybe compassion in my heart. Maybe zeal for your church and for people. Cause that to flourish in my heart. Or what about this? Like we sang in that prayer, Kyle, in that song, Kyle, pray that God's Spirit would come in increasing waves of realization within God's people. That we would sense the glorious presence of God. And I'm not, you know, I know if you hear that, you might think like first century kind of Acts 2 kind of stuff. I'm not necessarily saying that, but I am saying if you are tapped into your Christian walk at all, you know there have been times when you just had a real kind of otherworldly sense of the glory and presence of God in your life. And we should be praying that God would reveal that more and more in our lives and among us. What about praying that God bring new people into this church? When's the last time you prayed that? I hope you have been. I will confess, I'm your pulpit minister, and I cannot remember the last time. I don't know that I've ever prayed that prayer. I'm convicted by that. Now, I've prayed for the community. I've prayed for our influence in the community. But have I ever prayed, God, bring people that are searching, bring them here. And how about even better than that? Lord, take me to them. Show me people in my life that are at a place where only you know the interior workings of their heart and you know that they are on the brink of really being as receptive to the gospel as they've ever been. Lord, put me right in their path and give me the foresight to see it clearly and to be courageous enough to say, this is the most important thing I could do today, and I'm going to put everything else aside and I'm going to step into this. That's kingdom praying. And praying that we could have an impact on our community in otherworldly kind of ways. So focusing on God's presence and His kingdom and praying these kind of prayers, and I think what that really requires is for us to pray with increased boldness and with more specificity. You know, it always makes me cringe sometimes when I hear us pray, and I'll confess I've prayed this prayer, but I'm increasingly uncomfortable with it whenever we pray something like, Lord, there are people out there that don't know the truth. Help them to see the truth and come to their senses. As if somehow that's going to happen without God using some of us. Now, God can do what He wants to do, and there have been really interesting otherworldly ways that people have come to a knowledge of Jesus, and I'm open to all of that. But more than just praying, Lord, the harvest is white, send forth some laborers out there, I need to pray the kind of kingdom prayer to say, Lord, let me be willing to have some calluses on my hands as I'm swinging the sickle. Send me as the harvester. That's kind of the kind of specificity that we need. I mean, when I look at the kind of big, bold requests that God's servants in the past have made, it would just make you shudder to think people would have the kind of courage to pray these kind of prayers. Think about Moses. He's on Mount Sinai, and he knows the task that is ahead of him. And he prays the most extraordinary thing a human being could pray. He asks God, show me your glory. I want to see you. That's bold. And God reveals Himself to Moses, maybe not the way Moses anticipated, but he gets a glimpse of the glory of God. And then he sees Him even more brightly when God reveals His nature and He says, I am the Lord, compassionate and slow to anger. Let me tell you who I am. Better than me showing you, let me tell you what I'm like. That's a big, bold request. To see God's glory and to know God. I mean, what about the fact, I love this prayer that Paul prays in Ephesians. I mean, I think it's the most bold prayer ever prayed. He prays to God for the Ephesian Christians, and he prays and he says this. He says, I pray that they would come to fully know you and to know you in such a way that they could see the height, the depth, the length, and the width of the love that you have for them. And then he says this, and that they would be filled with the fullness of you. Asking God to fully come in and fill your life, to set up residence in your life. That's even bolder than Moses' prayer. Moses, like, just let me see you. Let me stand back and, you know, let me have an experience. And here Paul takes it to the next level and says, more than an experience, I pray that you just come live inside of me. That's bold kind of kingdom praying. Or then, you know, you look at Mark 11, and man, what Jesus tells us to pray here, I mean, it is so powerful that I really think that in our enlightened, scientific-infused world, that we have been contaminated by the world we live in and so influenced by our culture that we just have completely ripped out the power behind this passage. And I just want to embrace it fully. These are the words of Jesus, and I want to accept exactly what Jesus would say to you and me. Let's just listen to this. Jesus says, have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes. And they believe that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've already received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins. Now, we try to find all kinds of creative ways to explain away this passage or to somehow temper Jesus' words. And I'm just simply saying that Jesus is promising you and me that whenever we pray kingdom prayers, God, your kingdom come and move this seemingly insurmountable mountain that is trying to somehow prevent your kingdom from coming into the heart of this person or into this community, or somehow there's a darkened place of the world where it seems like the light of God's presence can't penetrate it, and it just seems as if missionary after missionary has tried and they've hit closed door after closed door. Pray your kingdom come and believe that God wants to bring his kingdom. He wants to bring his rule. And if you're praying according to that, that something that's such at the heart of God's purpose, God wants to see it happen. How's he going to say no to that? He's not. If we believe it, and we believe it with all of our hearts, he can move mountains for his kingdom purpose. I'm not talking about making sure you get a job or a new car. I'm talking about kingdom level kinds of things that are at the heart of what God is trying to do in human history. We have the power to call upon the name of Jesus to move in and do that kind of stuff that we, no matter how much we tried to strategize or organize, we could never get it done. That kind of bold, specific kind of praying. You see, I think if we think we can rationally explain everything, it leaves no room for belief. I just choose to believe. But it's the kind of prayer that has to be consistent and persistent. You know, kingdom kinds of praying, if we're really wanting God's kingdom to come, it starts with asking God to bring it into my own life. How can I ask God to bring his kingdom into your life or in the lives of this community or somewhere else if somehow I've shut off parts of my own heart from his rule? I have to ask God to break down the strongholds and the barriers and to move the mountains in my own heart and open myself up to living and abiding and communing on the upper level of the spiritual reality that is all around us and living there on a higher plane that informs and animates everything I do on the lower plane of my life. And then pray, God, bring a rush of the river flow of your presence and your kingdom purpose flowing in me and from other believers into this world. And pray that consistently and persistently. It's not something that you can just do a single one time. It's not like a sporadic kind of request where it's like, of all the prayers I pray, I appreciate the sermons Jonathan preached Sunday night, so I'm going to throw up a kingdom prayer this week. It's not something we say, okay, once a quarter we're going to have a kingdom prayer meeting at the church. It has to be something that is much more persistent than that. If we want God's kingdom to come, we have to continually knock on the door of heaven and ask Him to bring His kingdom here. In Luke chapter 18, listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says, I'm going to paraphrase Jesus, put it in my own words. Jesus basically says, you want to know how to pray? Let me tell you how to pray. Here's how you ought to pray. Don't lose heart. Don't quit praying. Even when it seems like you're getting no response, don't quit praying. Even when you feel like you don't want to pray, take the pill anyway and pray anyway. It's good for you. You need to pray. You need to commune with God. Keep on praying. You ought to always to pray and not to lose heart. And he says, let me tell you a story. So there's this widow, and she's been done wrong. I mean, she has been taken advantage of. She's been hurt deeply. And she goes to the judge, and she says to the judge, there's this guy over here that has hurt me, and there needs to be fairness, there needs to be equity, there needs to be justice, and I demand that you do something about it. And he ignores her. So what does she do? She goes back. She knocks on the chamber doors again, and she says, you've got to do something about this. And he ignores her again, and she keeps going, and she keeps going, and she keeps going. And finally, the judge, in exasperation, throws up his hands. He says, fine, I'll do something about it because you're wearing me out. You won't leave me alone. And then Jesus says, that's how you pray. Now, when you first read that, you might think, well, is God somehow, is he somehow trying to make me beg him for stuff? Like he's holding back, and I have to just keep asking. I think that misses the point. I think what God is trying to teach us is we've got to learn that if powerful things are going to happen, we have to get to a place where we have knocked on the door so many times that when it finally comes, there is no doubt where it came from. That it didn't come from anything we did. That everybody will see clearly that something fantastic has happened. And it could have only come from God Himself. That is consistent and persistent praying long and hard in dependence upon God at a kingdom level. So in our prayers, you know what we need to do? Seek God first and His kingdom. And you seek all that first, He's going to take care of all the lower level stuff. All these other things will be added to you. But seek first God and His kingdom. Let's ask Him for that. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask You to open doors for the gospel, that the good news of Jesus Christ might be spread over this world. We ask You humbly, our Father, but persistently and boldly we come to You, and we ask for a mighty outpouring of Your Spirit to be evident in this church. We ask you to send forth workers into this world, and I pray that you would create a spirit in each one of us that we would be willing to be sent. We pray for a spirit in the hearts of the people of this church, a spirit of giving to finance kingdom-level efforts in foreign lands and here in our own community of Maryville, Tennessee. We ask, Father, that you would protect us from the evil one and all of his schemes. Cast out the demons in the name of Jesus Christ. The demons that inhibit us and inhabit us. Break the chains that enslave us and fill us with the Spirit and with his unity. Open our hearts to the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. Father, stir our hearts. Convict us. Send us to overcome the powers of darkness with your light. Bring us into contact with people in this community that are searching for you. Father, speak through our words and through our actions and build your kingdom here. Use us to display your splendor to this community. And may all the glory be unequivocally and clearly yours alone. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, if you are not, if you want to see God's kingdom, you must be born again. If we can help you in being born again of water and the Spirit, I'd love to talk with you more. Maybe you're ready to embrace Christ. Then come and let's talk about what steps you need to take. If you need prayer, if we can help you, come to Jesus as we stand and sing.